Good morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here. Happy Mother's Day, and we appreciate you being here to worship with us and to celebrate our moms and grandmas and the ladies who have had influence on our lives. Thank you to everybody joining us on Facebook. We appreciate you joining us as well. We are giving you a free evening. There's no choir practice. There's no small groups tonight. So take your mom out to eat. Do something special with her. And if you've done that, then keep your couch company tonight. The newly elected church board will be having a meeting tomorrow night. I think Wayne has mostly tracked all the board members down. But if you are a new board member and have not gotten your packet of info to be looking over for tomorrow night, please make sure that you catch up with Mr. Wayne on the way out the door, and he will get that info to you. But that is 6:30 p.m. tomorrow night in the conference room, and you know who you are. We'll be back on track for Wednesday evening. Normal activities at 6 p.m. And so we have different groups for all different ages and folks. So if you have any questions about that, please let us know. But 6 p.m. on Wednesday, we will be celebrating communion next Sunday morning as part of our morning worship, just to let you know about that. And I think I've got a short list today. I think that's all I've got. So make sure that you are following the bulletin to see what's coming up in the month ahead. And we appreciate you being with us today.
Our teens went to TNT, which stands for Top Nazarene Talent, this past weekend. And Keisha is going to come and tell us a little bit about what happened at Trevecca Nazarene University in TNT. And we're glad that they were able to go, and appreciate Keisha and Justin and their leadership with our youth. Bless you, Keisha.
Good morning, everyone. So as Pastor said, we went to Nashville at Trevecca Nazarene University for Top Nazarene Talent. And teens that went, please come up, come forward, or wherever you are. So we had, we took four teens. We did Parker did basketball, Faith, River, Kaylee Brewer, which wasn't here this morning, and Parker, we all did puppets. They got first place in that. That's what got them to go, but yesterday we'd not place in that, but they all did an awesome job. Also, Kaylee did Gaga Ball, so she did good in that as well. So you guys should be very proud of the teens. They handled themselves very well. They represented our church great, and thank you guys so much for always supporting them. We appreciate you guys, so thank you.
Well, Crossville first, we have a problem. Don't you love it when a pastor starts that way? It's a good problem. That's even better, isn't it? We are bursting at the seams in our Sunday school classes. And we are so excited that we're able to launch something new for the summer. And we are calling it the 9:30 Experiment. Starting Sunday, June the 1st, we're going to be offering a fresh lineup of Sunday morning classes for our adults. And we're kicking all of this off next Sunday morning with a breakfast and fellowship at 9:30 down in the Family Life Center. And this is for all the adult Sunday school classes. Now, if you're saying, well, I don't want to be a part of that, and you would normally come to Sunday school, and what I'm going to say is shame on you. Amen. But we're going to have a great time next Sunday as we begin to talk about what's going to happen. Come enjoy some food, meet the teachers, the facilitators, and hear about the class options that we're going to have over the summer. This is an experiment. There's no pressure. It's an opportunity for you to grow in your faith and connect with a lot of other people. And we have, on average, somewhere between 30 and 40 people who come in every Sunday morning just for worship. Let me tell you, you're missing a great opportunity to connect with other people in your church. And so we want you to come next Sunday morning, hear what's going to be happening for the summer, and it's going to be a great time, and that'll be in the Family Life Center next Sunday morning. And all of the 9:30 Experiment, it begins June the 1st. That's our first official Sunday, and we're going to have a great time. So come next Sunday morning at 9:30 and find out what's going on. This is the adult classes down in the Family Life Center next Sunday morning at 9:30. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to be here today. You are so good to us. We are constantly amazed, Lord, at your goodness. Had it been us, we probably would not have been so gracious or kind. But we're grateful that we have an opportunity this morning to gather as your people, to worship you, to praise you, to thank you for the good things that you are doing in our church. And so, Lord, I pray that as we worship you this morning, as we honor our mothers today, I pray that it might be a great day of fellowship. It might be a great day of feeding on your word. And Father, I pray that the needs that are represented in this body of believers today, that you would touch and help. For those who need your healing, thank you that you are the great physician. Lord, for those who just simply need a closer walk, your Holy Spirit is drawing even today. And so we believe you, God, that you're going to do great and mighty things today as we worship and we praise you. We give you glory for who you are. And we thank you for these that are gathered here. And we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said.
Stand with me this morning as we begin to worship the Lord.
We've waited for this day. We're gathered in your name. We're calling out to you. Your glory like a fire. Awakening desire will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes, 'cause you're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise.
Request. We've done it once before, And I had many, many requests to do it again because some of you said that you hadn't learned how to clap yet. Okay? So we're going to do a little practice here. Let's go one. Now you're getting it. There you go. Okay, when we get to the bridge of this, you're going to help the choir. They're going to teach you how to do that. Sing it with me. Blessed assurance.
This is my story. If you do not get these things boxed up right now.
I'm sorry, Mom. I got distracted. Do you remember these?
I owe... Wow. These are from quite a while ago, aren't they? I owe you $2 for a Coke. I owe you $1 for an ice cream cone. I owe you $2 for a set of barrettes. These are from when I gave you an allowance.
Yeah, I would spend all my allowance money, but then I'd want something else, and you wouldn't give me any more money until I wrote you an IOU. I guess I didn't pay many of them back, did I?
Actually, you paid a lot more back than I ever expected.
I remember being so proud when I paid one back. I would hand you the IOU and the money, and you would say, "This IOU has been paid in full."
Yes, well, I was proud of you, too. I was trying to teach you a little responsibility with your money, and every time you would pay me back, I would think, oh, maybe there's a small part of her that's actually getting it. Is this what's distracting you?
Well, not exactly. When I found all those IOUs in the bottom of my dresser drawer, I thought I'd write one more. Here, read this.
Dear Mom, I owe you for the following services. Janitorial, you washed all my clothes, picked up after me, and dealt with my messes for 18 years without a single thank you from me. Recreational, you made this house a fun, happy, and safe place for me and all my friends, even the ones you didn't like very much. Psychological, you gave me great advice that I couldn't get anywhere else. Even though I didn't always listen, I now know how valuable it was. Medical, you kissed away every boo-boo I had, held my hands through nights that I thought I was too sick to sleep, and made me better than the best doctor in the world. Emotional, you rejoiced with me in the happy times, cried with me in the sad times, and carried me through those times I couldn't have made it on my own. Spiritual, you showed me the kind of unconditional love that Jesus has for me. Without your example, I don't think I would have ever come to realize how much he loves me. In short, Mom, I owe you everything. Well, I guess it's time to collect on this one.
What? I can't possibly pay you back for all that.
Of course you can.
I love you, Mom.
This IOU is paid in full.
We owe our moms a whole lot more than we'll ever be able to pay back. I am so grateful for not only the moms who are here today, but the ladies who are here today who have been moms to kids here in the church. Across the years, some of you have been moms, even though you may not have had children, you have been moms that have watched for, cared for, taught, given instruction to a whole lot of kids that have walked through the doors of Crossville First. And we are so, so very grateful for that, and we do thank you for that.
We're continuing this morning, and this may surprise you, but we are continuing this morning from the book of Philippians. We've been going through Philippians since the beginning of Lent, and I am amazed at how all this fell into place. I will tell you that. But I want to speak to you this morning, as Paul says here in Philippians chapter 2, I have no one like him. And I want us to read verses 19 down through verse 24, Philippians chapter 2. Paul says here, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because he is a son with his... But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Praise his name. Well, you come to this portion of the book of Philippians and you realize that the Apostle Paul thought it was necessary to send Timothy to them. We know that there were problems there. However, the situation wasn't so desperate that... It needed immediate attention, so he told them that he would be sending Timothy to see them. And that Timothy would come and he would observe what was happening, and then he would return to Paul and let Paul know what was going on with them. I mean, those words in verse 20 are awesome when you read them. I have no one else like him. I mean, here you have Paul, the teacher. You have Paul, the pastor, the evangelist, the mentor, who is writing about one of his closest friends, who is writing, as he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, about his true son in the faith. Wow. Of all the people around Paul, I guess we know more about Timothy than anyone else. If you go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, Paul talks about his tears there. He talks about the fact that he had a good conscience in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. We read that he was faithful to the Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17. We know that he was entrusted to the work that Paul had left behind because we find this 8 different times throughout the New Testament. And Paul says here in Philippians 2, verse 20, he says that Timothy had a genuine interest in people. Now, you probably couldn't put those kind of qualities on your own resume, but when your mentor is speaking about you, it's clear that Paul, if he were writing a letter of recommendation, would say that Timothy was a solid, genuine, authentic man of integrity, character, and faith. I mean, we know that Timothy had served with Paul for a long time. If you go back to Acts chapter 16, you find that when Paul came to Lystra, he found a disciple named Timothy, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. Luke goes on and say that Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. And as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. And listen at verse 5 here. It says here in Acts 16, verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. I mean, here is this young man. Probably when Paul met him in his late teens, early 20s, and probably in his mid-20s by the time he leaves to go with Paul. And the two of them, along with Silas, have a very effective ministry as they go from church to church and God does miraculous things. And some of you this morning right now are thinking, wow, William,
All that's great. I'm glad you know about Timothy. But just in case, with your aged condition, today is Mother's Day. I'm so glad you reminded me of that, you know. And just so you'll know, I did not forget. I began to think about this, and it is amazing to me as we've gone through this. I mean, we've been in Philippians now quite some time, and as we've come to this, we fall today at this passage of Scripture. Now, I will tell you, as I told the group Wednesday night, I'm not smart enough to think all this through. This is the way it just happened to fall out. And when you begin to read what Paul says about Timothy, and I've told you this before, when I was a young preacher, I read 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus over and over and over again, and every associate that I've ever had got so sick of hearing about 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. I mean, it was just who I looked to, and even though I had some very good mentors, I wanted to find out what Paul was telling this young preacher. And I'm not a young preacher anymore. But all of the recommendations that I've just read to you, all of these recommendations are basically reinforced by what we read personally about Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 1 through 5. You can find it or it'll be on the screen. But here's what Paul says to Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. I mean, these are words that are written by an older man to this young man. And we know that this is a young man based on what we read in 1 Timothy chapter 14, verse 12, and also in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. But his youth is not the issue that's at hand. The issue at hand is the fact that because of two ladies, because of his mother, because of his grandmother, the faith that they possessed had been passed along to Timothy and now lived in him. And Paul says it that way. He says, I am persuaded that the faith that they had now lives in you also. Wow. I was fortunate as a kid growing up. And this is in no way to compare myself to Timothy, okay? But I was fortunate when I was growing up. My grandmother came to live with us when I was 6 months old and lived with us until she passed away when I was 18. So I was real fortunate in that way. I had a grandma and a mother in the house. And Susie says she's going to have a long talk with my grandma when they get to heaven. I was a wonderful child. If you don't believe it, ask my grandma when you see her, you know. But just to think about it, to think about these two ladies, to think about what they instilled in this young man, to cause him to be so well spoken of. If you go to Acts chapter 16 one more time, it says the people there at Lystra and Iconium was 18 miles away, but the people at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of this young disciple by the name of Timothy. Isn't that something? And so this morning, I want us to see what these two ladies instilled in this young man. What his mother, what his grandmother instilled in this young man that made him the man of God that he was and that we read about over and over again throughout the New Testament. What had his grandmother and his mother instilled in him? The first thing that I look at and come to the realization is they instilled in him a regard for the Word of God. last Sunday morning as we were together and we dedicated Mercy. I told her parents when I gave them that New Testament, I said, this is the Word of God. It will be a lamp to her feet and a light to her path. Early read it to her and train her with it. And by doing so, this is why we do this. By doing so, you will keep her from a world of evil and hurt. Isn't that something? I mean, the greatest impact that mothers can have in the lives of their children is to teach them a regard, a reverence, a desire for the Word of God. I mean, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, Paul reminds Timothy that everyone who wants to live a godly life, they're going to be persecuted. And then in verse 14, Paul urges Timothy to hang tough in all that because you have become convinced of what you know and who you have learned it. He learned it from mom and grandma. I mean, Timothy had not only learned these things cognitively, but he had also made a practice of owning what he had studied. He had become convinced of the truthfulness of what he had seen in these two ladies. I think he saw it modeled in his mother and his grandmother. I think he saw it modeled in Paul. But before Paul ever came along, he was this young disciple that these two churches, 18 miles apart, spoke well of. Paul says here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that from your infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I mean, in the manner of devout Israelites, his grandmother Lois, his mother Eunice had taught him the Holy Scriptures, evidently from the very beginning. The word infant here can refer to either a newborn or it can refer to a toddler. And so Lois and Eunice had teamed up on him to provide a powerful Bible study every day of his life. Isn't that amazing? I mean, they read to him. They talked about him. They talked to him, I think, probably about Samson and about Saul, about David and Ruth, about Abraham and Noah. I mean, they told him everything that he needed to know. He had been given a thorough background of what the Scriptures were all about. In essence, they were basically living out what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up." So basically, there in Deuteronomy, we're told that everywhere we go and everything that we do, we are to be modeling out the commands of God. And these two mothers, this mother and this grandmother, evidently had God's Word in their heart. They had internalized the truth in their own lives so that they could impress this young man, so that they could do something in him that would last him a lifetime. God wants us as parents and grandparents, as great-grandparents, to instill in our children a reverence and a desire for the Word of God. I mean, thankfully, you don't have to do this by yourself. I'm so thankful for our children's ministry. I'm so thankful for what I see happening in our children's ministry. I'm thankful for Mary, who worked so hard. And now Jessica has come right along beside her. And they're working together. And they're working to see great things happen for our children. If you haven't been downstairs, you need to go downstairs and see Kids Connection. It's not finished, but it's getting there. How'd you like that plug? I mean, I'm so thankful for what's happening with our children's ministry. But I want to ask moms, I want to ask parents. Let's just not single out the moms, okay? What kind of Bible are you displaying to your children? Miss Mary Alice Langton was one of our professors in college. And Miss Langton would say to us on more than one occasion, she would say, "You may be the only Bible that some people will ever read." Are you instilling in them a respect for the Word of God? Are you instilling in them a reverence for the Word of God? Are you instilling in them a desire for the Word of God? You see, when I begin to look at Timothy, I see that his mother and his grandmother had instilled in him a regard for the Word of God. They had, and this kind of is kind of a sequence here that goes in line. Not only had they instilled in him a regard for the Word of God, but they had also instilled in him a genuine faith. Verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I am reminded of your sincere faith. Now the word that is used for sincere here, the whole idea is that Timothy's faith was not phony. It was authentic. There was no hypocrisy in this young man. He possessed, as the New Living Translation says here, he possessed a genuine faith. I read this statement this week as I was getting ready for this message, and I'm going to tell you it has done something to me, because this statement said, faith is not inherited, it is instilled. Faith is not inherited, it is instilled, it is learned. My dad was a pastor for over 50 years, and I want to tell you, had I not come to a personal saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and I died in that way, I would have gone to hell. Because faith is not inherited. Our children, Susie and our two girls, they are not going to heaven because they inherited a faith from us. They may have inherited some knowledge about faith from us, but I'm going to tell you, they didn't inherit. They had to come to a point and place and time that they accepted Christ as their personal Savior. You see, faith is not inherited. Faith is instilled. It is learned. None of us are born that way. In fact, quite the opposite is true. Unless Susie did it, and I've told you this before, unless Susie did it, I never taught either one of our girls to stamp their angry little feet and tell me no. Now, I don't know what Susie did with them. You know? You don't have to teach them to do that. You don't have to teach a kid that when you walk into the kitchen and they're up on a stool like they're not supposed to be and they got their hand in the cookie jar, you don't have to teach them to say, I'm not doing anything. Lying comes pretty natural. Our first parents did it. And we learn it without a whole lot of coaching. But faith is a different story. We're not born with faith. But I do believe that when moms and dads model genuine faith, an environment is created that motivates children to want a similar kind of faith. The opposite of that is also true. I mean, the very fact that the people of Lystra spoke highly of Timothy suggests that they had watched this young man grow up and they had seen the demonstration of his faith and in the community and in the church. And this was a faith that had been caught and taught, not inherited. It had been caught and taught by a mother and a grandmother. Timothy just didn't learn facts. Timothy just didn't learn to memorize. Timothy just didn't do things out of habit. When you look at this, his faith was sincere. His faith was genuine. It was he who had come to a point and place in time that he believed it. And had seen it work in two people that lived it out in front of him. Most Bible scholars believe that when it speaks of his dad being a Greek, the way that it is worded there, they believe that at this point in time, when Paul meets Timothy, that Timothy's dad is already dead. And so basically the only instruction that he was getting in the house was coming from his mom and his grandmother. I mean, the reality of this is, and this ought to be an encouragement to those of you who are raising kids either on your own or with a spouse who's not in the faith. The reality is, a single parent can make a difference in a child's life. These ladies, this mother and this grandmother, had instilled in Timothy a regard for the Word of God. They had instilled in him an authentic faith. And the last thing that I want you to see about this young man, Timothy, that his mother and his grandmother instilled in him was a desire to be used by God. Acts chapter 16, verse 2, the believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. I've already quoted that many times. I mean, the indication here is that two churches 18 miles apart spoke well of this young man, spoke well of his faith. And Paul, in almost every instance, when Timothy is mentioned, he speaks of his abilities and his desire to minister. Timothy had a good reputation. I'm glad he's not alive today, or you'd call him as your pastor. Come on, smile. I said that to see if some of you were awake. It's interesting to me when you go to Acts chapter 16 that the very first word that is used to describe Timothy is disciple. Isn't that something? This is a 16-year-old kid. And the first word that is used to describe him is disciple. Even at a young age, he was a learner. He was a follower. He was somebody that had committed himself to Jesus. And the whole context here is that Timothy was someone who was trying to emulate Jesus in his life and in his teaching. Howard Marshall said that this kind of reputation was an indispensable requirement for Christian leadership. And just as faith is not inherited, so a desire to be used by God is not inherited. It is also caught. It is also taught. Can I tell you what I think about these two ladies? I can't prove it, okay? So this is pure speculation. Okay? And I want to tell you that up front so that you'll know that. I believe that every church dinner that came along, Lois fixed potato salad and Eunice fixed fried chicken. Come on. We read throughout the book of Acts of those who gave themselves over to ministry. And here you have these two mother, grandmother, who are instilling in this young man the fact that ministry is not just something that you talk about. That ministry is something you do. And when you begin to look at this, and Paul almost immediately begins, when we see this, Paul almost immediately sees something in this young man that he knows can be used in the ministry of the gospel. Once again, it's instilled. It's not inherited. You go back to Philippians chapter 2. You didn't think I'd get back there. But go back to Philippians chapter 2. And Paul says to the Philippians about Timothy, I have no one else like him who will show a genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy, listen, this is Paul speaking, but you know that Timothy has proved himself. Because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. There's the heart of it all. There's the heart of it all. It didn't start with Paul. Please get that. It didn't start with Paul. It started with a mother. It started with a grandmother who taught him the scriptures, who probably sang the songs, who did what they could do so that this young man, especially after he became a believer, and most Bible scholars believe that Paul, at one point in time, that Lois and Eunice and even Timothy were probably saved under Paul's ministry. And so here you have Paul. I have no one else like him. Well, why was he like he was? Because a mother and a grandmother did what they were supposed to do. A mother and a grandmother did what they were supposed to do. I can't tell you how many times across the years in the churches that I have pastored that I have watched children who had grown up with a mom or a dad that had served in church. And what were those children doing? They were right there serving in church. They were doing what needed to be done. Sometimes they were the last to leave. They were there when nobody else would clean up or pick up. I mean, we have some examples in our own church of moms and dads who have served, and now their children are serving in this church. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens because it's instilled in them. They come to learn it. They come to know Jesus. And because Jesus has made a difference in their parents' life and has made a difference in their lives, they want to make a difference in the lives of other people. This is good preaching, whether you know it or not. You see, the desire to be involved is caught and taught. It is instilled. It is watched. And because it is watched and they've seen it to be real, it becomes something that they want to do, because the same Savior that ministered in their mom and dad's life also ministers in their lives, and it makes all the world of difference. Conclusion. I love how Paul says here, I have no one else like him. I have no one else like him. And the reason that he could say that, because of the impact of a grandmother and a mother who took time and instilled in him a desire to serve Jesus. I mean, they had instilled in Timothy a respect for the Word, a genuine faith, a desire to be used by God. All of it. I've said it so many times already this morning, but I'm going to say it one more time. All of this is caught. It's taught. It's instilled. It's not inherited. And moms and dads, if this church is to survive beyond this generation, then we're going to have to instill in our kids a respect for the Word. We're going to have to instill in them a genuine faith, and we're going to have to instill in them a desire to serve. We've talked about service ever since we began in Philippians. We have to instill in them a desire to serve. Lord Jesus, we're grateful for your Word. We're grateful as we read this passage in the book of Philippians, as Paul speaks about this young man. It's good to read that there's no one else like him. It's good to read that he has genuine interest in the people. It's good to read that he's different from most people. But when we go to 2 Timothy, we find why he was different. That was because of a mom and a grandma who lived out the faith in front of him, did what they could do. And because of that, we see a young man who Paul commends, who Paul entrusts with various churches, various situations and circumstances. When Paul couldn't be there, he would see in this young man who had learned the faith at the feet of his mother and his grandmother. So we thank you for mothers and grandmothers. We thank you for women who have been faithful to teach children. And we're grateful, Father, for the opportunity that we have this morning to celebrate our mothers. May you bless them, help them, strengthen them, and encourage them. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my favorite things to do throughout the years of being a pastor, you've heard the story, you know it, you know what's about to happen, is to ask all the moms and grandmothers, the ladies who have taught, I want you to come and stand here facing the congregation, please. Just come up here and stand in front of the altars. You don't have to be a part of this congregation. We want you to come. But face the congregation first, or I'll get in trouble. The reason I do this and have them face you first is because I was reminded one time that when they were facing me, all you could see was their backside. Now, isn't this a beautiful sight? Amen. Okay, ladies, you can face me, please. After that, you're not sure, huh? Okay. What an honor it is to be your pastor and to stand before you today and have the opportunity to pray for you. This is one of my favorite things to do all year long, because you ladies, you make a difference in the lives of those babies and those children. There's Parker right there. And those grandbabies. And for some of you, great-grandchildren. Great-greats? Oh, great-greats. Okay. What an honor it is for our church to honor you, and we applaud you. Proverbs 31:28 says, her children rise and call her blessed. And they may not be here this morning, but with the impact that you've made on their lives, I hope that when you get that phone call today, if you don't get a phone call, you call me and I'll call you. How about that? What an honor it is. And we're so thankful for you. And I pray God uses you to instill in children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, a love for the Word of God. A genuine faith and a desire to be used by God. The greatest thing that could happen for some of your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren is for them to be called into ministry, to train and to teach. And the foundation that you are giving them now will make all the difference in the world. I'm so thankful for those two ladies in my life. One's watching. So I got to behave myself, you know. But I'm so thankful for what they taught me and what I saw as I was growing up, the godly example that they were before me. Be that godly example for those children that you have an opportunity to serve. Father, I'm thankful for these ladies who are standing before me today. What a beautiful sight it is. What an honor it is this morning to pray for them. Your word says that a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And so these women this morning, we praise them and we thank you for them. And I ask you, Father, that on this Mother's Day, that they've been reminded of the wonderful, awesome privilege that they have of teaching, of training, of instilling in children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren the opportunity that they have to provide an example of the faith, a faith that is not inherited, but a faith that is instilled. A faith that is caught and taught. And so may you bless them and help them. We give you glory this morning for this opportunity to honor these ladies. And I ask you, Father, that you would bless them and help them. And we love you and praise you in advance for what you're going to do through them, through their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, their great-great-grandchildren. We give you glory, honor, and praise for the generations to come that will be impacted by these ladies today. Bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you leave the church this morning, back at the back, and I want to say thank you to Samantha and the NDI Council for all the things that have gone on this morning and those who have acted and who, all this. The worship was wonderful. I'm thankful for all that we've had today. And I appreciate Samantha and the NDI Council for organizing it. As you leave this morning, there's a little token of our appreciation for you back there. Be sure and grab one of those And we just want to say thank you and that we love you and we are proud that you're part of our congregation. May God bless you in a mighty way. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. We're glad that you are here. Hope the Lord bless you. If you are our guest today, we are so thankful that you were with us and hope that the Lord blessed you today. For those of you joining us on Facebook, God bless you. Thank you for being there. Be sure to leave a comment that you were with us. May God bless you today. You are dismissed.